Hi, I'm Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls. Today, we're reeling it back to feminism.
Yeah, just a good old-fashioned conversation.
As if this entire podcast isn't, like, feminist.
Fangirls.
Yeah. But, like, first, we want to talk about, you know, this corona thing that we're all dealing with right now. Hopefully you're all social distancing from your house and listening to us from inside. And if you can't, please stay safe. Mm. But lots of things happened in terms of movies.
Yeah, honestly, everything has...
And the shows, actually.
Yeah, everything has gotten adjusted or pushed back. Comic-Con, like San Diego Comic-Con hasn't announced any dates that I've seen, but I don't think Comic-Con's happening this summer, y'all. Every other con has gotten moved or canceled, so that's just where we're at.
Wild. I can't even imagine, like, San Diego Comic-Con not happening.
Honestly,
for that's me... That's so crazy.
The flag of, like... when it hit my consciousness, you know, because everyone's been in weird levels, mm-hmm. when South by Southwest just got canceled, that's when I was like, oh, this summer is going to be different. And then Coachella moved.
Yeah.
And then everything after that, I was just like, that was for me the, like, bucket of water in the face of just like, yeah, this is happening.
I mean, it felt really real for me when my dad had to close.
Mm.
So that was one thing. Because for those who don't know, my dad is a small business owner. He has a restaurant and they had to close.
Because
that's fun. But hey... all the movies that we were looking forward to / sort of not looking forward to, including Black Widow, which was supposed to come out
this year.
Weekend?
Was it supposed to be
the beginning of May. That's when it was.
Okay.
But now it's been pushed all the way to November.
That's quite the push. Like, which makes sense.
All of the big summer blockbusters are moving to fall. Like that, that's like crazy to me.
Yeah. Mulan's live action, which was supposed to be out right now.
Oh, yeah.
It got pushed to July, but looking at these dates, and Black Widow specifically, I'm wondering if it's going to get pushed again.
It might, honestly. Right? I think it did, though, because I saw... Didn't Disney also, like, push back a bunch of the Disney movies, too?
Probably. I don't know.
I mean, like, they pushed back the Marvel movies, but I thought I saw... Because we retweeted, if you go to our Twitter, you can see the new dates. But we retweeted it from Geeks of Color, and I thought I saw Geeks of Color had, like, retweeted or, like, tweeted about the new Disney dates, too.
We'll fact check that. But in general, trust Geeks of Color. They're a good outlet.
Yeah.
But let's go through the new dates.
Yeah. So, November is for Black Widow,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, wild. November 6, 2020, which will be the only Marvel movie being released this year.
That's nuts. But, yeah, okay.
Then Eternals is February 12, 2021. Shang-Chi is May 7th, 2021. Doctor Strange 2 will be November 5th, 2021. Thor 4 is February 18th, 2022. Black Panther 2 is May 6th, 2022. And Captain Marvel 2 is July 8th, 2022.
Man, that's so weird. Black Widow is the only MCU movie coming out in 2020.
Yeah.
Wild.
Well, because the other part of that is that all of these films, anything being filmed this year, had to pause as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, Winter Soldier and Falcon, I'm pretty sure they were in the middle of filming and they had to stop.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Yeah, I don't think he came down with it, but Shang-Chi's director had to go into self-quarantine through, like, a chain. That halted production right on pretty early on.
Yeah, so that's, like, part of why all of these movies have to be pushed back is because, like...
They're not even filming.
Some of them are probably going to start filming this year, and now they can't. Man, Corona sucks.
Wild. Yeah.
Not to go, like, so off course, but... Life after this will be very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how we as a society are going to be able to go back to, like, going into open, like, crowded spaces.
I can't imagine what it's going to be like when this is over, because we're at the point in time when we don't know when this is going to be over. Like, my friends and I joke about it, but I honestly, whenever we talk about what our plans are, I'm like, oh yeah, in 18 months, it's going to be over for you fools. And I'm only half kidding. I really think that, like, bare minimum, we're going to be like this for the next year and a half. Maybe not in lockdown, but we're going to be in this weird... We're going to be in this mindset for a year and a half.
Yeah. And so, I was supposed to be going to Texas this weekend, and now that's not happening. And I know you had, like, 8 million things in April that you were supposed to be, like, going places and going, like, people coming to you and, like...
Yeah.
That just isn't happening. Everyone's putting their life on hold. It sucks. It sucks. But we're going to try and be there for you guys every week to try and give you some levity past this. So,
Because what is...
Starting now, let's... sorry?
I was going to say, what is some good escapism, if not for the MCU?
I know, exactly. So we're going to just go...
But today isn't even about the MCU.
No, it's not. We're doing some, like I said at the beginning, we're doing some feminism today. We're talking about gender swapped or, you know, all female adaptations of prominent franchises already, you know? Slash female led films as well, which we probably will get into a little bit, but not a ton.
Yeah, because I know what started when we were brainstorming episode ideas, we had this idea right after Natalie Portman's Thor was announced. So we were going to talk about a bit of, that's what got the wheel turning on this topic.
Yes, that's what got our wheel turning on this topic. But it is also something that I've thought about a lot in the past before. Like, because when, way back when Ghostbusters got announced with the all-female cast, the vitriol from male fans came in quick.
That was another thing that was just so, like, you had this, what is it, disembodied moment watching it happen of just like, where did this all come from all of a sudden at once? This is insane.
Yeah, and like the same thing happened when Ocean's 8 came out, and I think, like, for me, the answer to putting more women into, like, more female-led stories, more female voices in movies is not to just take something that was previously all male and make it all female. You know, that's not the answer. It's not the answer to, like, turn characters who were already, like, men and just change it and make them women. Like, to me, the answer is to actually just hire female creators to create new female voices.
Yeah, but I will say I did like the direction Ghostbusters and Oceans went with their rebooted cast, because it wasn't like the same exact plot. It was completely new, like, retelling in Ghostbusters' case. And then I liked the continuation feeling of, like, the family business type feeling that Oceans, I keep wanting to say 11, 9? Ocean's 9 had. 8.
It's 8. It's 8.
Thank you. Ocean's 8. Ocean's 8.
We saw that together, Lily.
We did.
I mean, I love Ocean's 8, and I love Ghostbusters, but I think part of that for me comes from the fact that I'd never actually seen any of the other Ocean's movies, and I never actually saw the other Ghostbuster movies. Like, I didn't. And, like, it wasn't because of anything or any reason or whatever. It was just never, like, films that I caught on, like, the TV as, the, like, they were airing or running or whatever, and I just never watched any of the Ocean's movies. I don't know why. I just never did. But the idea of Ocean's 8 was really enticing to me, because I was like, oh my god, like I love a good heist movie, and I know that sounds weird that I've never seen the Ocean's movies because I like a heist movie, but so I like really like that idea. But again, like, going back, it's like, what works with Ocean's 8 is that they weren't just, like, taking the men and just, like, imposing, I mean, I assume, and, like, imposing those, like, characteristics onto the women.
Right, right.
They weren't just going, like, oh, Sandra Bullock is George Clooney, and, like,
right.
you can't really, I would assume that, like, they weren't really going, oh, this is clearly supposed to be that person, this is clearly supposed to be that person, this is clearly supposed to be that person. Like, there's no, like, really comparison. And I think if you're gonna do something like that, then that's how you should go about it.
Definitely. And I think when this, I don't want to call it a movement, but when these types of movies started coming out, Ghostbusters was first, or at least the one, to me, the whenever I think of, like, this happening, Ghostbusters was first. So I think it made sense for Ghostbusters to do it the way they did. Also, it's not like, I don't think the four, I can't, like, the four lead actresses also wrote it, you know, kind of a thing. So
it was Melissa McCarthy.
Kate McKinnon.
What is her, Kristen Wiig.
Thank you. I was like, I love this actress. I can't
remember. And someone else. Oh, Leslie Jones. Yes. And Chris Hemsworth, because I just love how he's such, like, a, he's such a himbo in that movie.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, peak himbo. I love it.
Wow. I totally forgot he was in that movie. It was, so I like Ghostbusters, the new one. I stand by it. It has, I think, its flaws, but not nearly the amount of flaws that, you know, male people on the internet seem to think it does. And I think that it was a good, like, first one. And then the ones that came after it came after it. And they were all able to do their own thing, because obviously they weren't all trying to do the same thing as Ghostbusters. But Ghostbusters being the first just kind of made itself the go-to comparison. Compare and contrast, I think.
Mm-hmm. But I think what, like, the biggest, to me, like, it's so clearly sexism, though, when a movie comes out like that and it's like, oh, it's all women, and these hordes and hordes of men come out of the woodwork and they just say, like, well, how dare you, like, make this thing and do it this way when there's a, and, like, why women aren't funny, and men, like, and you just see all of that coming out and you're just like, whoa, I, like, not for nothing, but pretty much every woman in this cast has been on SNL, which is, like, peak comedy.
Yeah.
For one thing. Second, making this movie does not negate the existence of the original. Like, it's not like this new one comes out and then, like, the original Ghostbusters just gets erased out of existence.
I know. If you didn't want to watch it, then just go back and watch the old one. There's nothing, there's not anything stopping you.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like, personally, I'm at a point where I'm very annoyed with reboots. I'm just like, please stop doing it. Mm. Just please stop. I just make new content, for the love of God, and don't try and, like, grasp onto the straws of something that was popular in the 80s. Like, stop. Just stop doing it. Just make new content. Because if you make good new content, it will eventually have a similar effect.
That was what Bridesmaids was.
Yeah, Bridesmaids was awesome. Like, it's a funny movie. It's its own thing. Like, just keep doing that. Make your own movies that are not tied to a franchise, and people probably won't get so angry when you try and, like, reboot them. But on the other hand, if you think about, like, Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel on its own is a good film, and I love it, but I made the mistake one day of going on Reddit and going into, like, the Marvel threads of Reddit, which, like, normally I don't do. Like, the way I use Reddit, I just like the, am I the asshole thread, the relationship threads, and, like, I'm in, like, a Stardew Valley thread, and, like, a bunch of, like, TV shows, you know? Like, I try not to go to, like, Marvel because of how heavily, like, male-dominated it is there, and it just, that, like, the stress of reading those comments is too much. But I made the mistake one day of going in, and it was just all of these people, all of these men going, you know, I wouldn't mind a Captain Marvel movie, but I hate that they keep marketing it this way. Like, woman, and being, and I was like, female, like, oh, like, and I was like, they were just mad that they were marketing it that Captain Marvel was a woman and, like, putting emphasis on the fact that she's, like, a female hero. Right. Oh, it was like, I remember, because the marketing for it was like hero and like her, the her part of hero was like in different colored font.
Oh.
Or it like, you know, it started with her and then they added the O. It was like her hero, like.
Right.
And
right.
I think a lot of people were like mad that they were like putting so much emphasis on the fact that she's a woman and like she's a hero and like it's a woman. And they felt like that was like trying to get points, like for the social justice warriors, like points from the social justice warriors. And
well,
oh yeah,
I was gonna say that's only a valid argument if you're not a man. That is literally just
exactly
something. You, if you don't have if you don't have any stakes in the game, you don't get to participate in the debate.
Like, honestly, I liked their marketing because, quite frankly, after 10 years about being, in, like, Marvel being a place in
Boys
the
Club.
Common social whatever the word is for that, we only, like, she was the first female-led movie. Mm-hmm. So I don't care that they were going like hero like on the the trailers and all of that and like bringing attention to that she's a woman, and it's like who cares because all of these people were like, well, like, why, like, don't just make these because they're women, make them because they're good characters. And it's like, Captain Marvel is a good character.
Lord.
She's a woman.
Right?
Stop acting like you don't like Captain Marvel. What is happening? And, like, it's just wild to me because it's one of those things that I don't think, like, Wonder Woman got that kind of criticism, because Wonder Woman has always been kind of associated as the big, like, three of DC.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's always Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. So I don't think she gets the same kind of, like, you know, I wouldn't mind if they, like, made a movie about a woman. Just make sure it's, like, for character, not because she's just a woman. Like, that is one of my least favorite arguments. Well, I don't care. Do it because she's a woman. Do it. Because if you look at the history of Marvel, every single film is led by a man. So I don't care. That's all I have to say about
it. And also, Captain Marvel was one of the first female-directed, co-directed movies in the MCU, too. Because that was another big thing with Wonder Woman's movie, is it was a female director as well. And like we talked about with Birds of Prey, there are some times when it's, you can see it. You can see that this was through the non-male gaze in certain costuming and angles and fight scenes. And that, when you look at like Captain Marvel, Wonder Woman, and Birds of Prey, you're just like, a lot of people talked about it on Twitter with Birds of Prey of just like, I didn't realize, it was that feeling of, I didn't realize what was missing until I saw it.
Sorry, it's like, you know, that Supreme Court justice who said, like, I can't define pornography, but I know it when I see it.
Thanks, media law, I know exactly
what
you're talking about.
It's like the same thing with the male gaze. It's the same thing with the male gaze, where you're like, I can't define the male gaze, but, like, I know it when I see it, and I also know when I don't see it. Like, Birds of Prey was very much like that, because, like, the scene that you were talking about in our Birds of Prey episode, Harley Quinn is fighting in a white t-shirt, and it's, like, raining and stuff. Or not raining, but it was just wet for some reason. I think the sprinklers went off. And it wasn't, like a wet t-shirt contest. It was just, like, that was what she was wearing, and that happened to happen. And it was still, like, a thick t-shirt, so it wasn't like you could see her bra or anything. And, like, in Wonder Woman, we haven't done an episode about Wonder Woman, but we should during this quarantine.
It's kind of amazing we haven't.
I know. But, like, scenes in Wonder Woman are, like, when Diana, like, drops down and you see her thighs jiggle. And, like, it's like gravity still affects her in a way that you don't see in most films when they're, like, shooting women. Like, those are, like, weird little things that you notice when you're watching, that you're like, wow, if a man had directed that, it would have just been, like, a solid jump and, like, nothing, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't know why the thigh jiggling is such a good little thing in Wonder Woman, but it really is.
It's the small details. It's the thing that you notice, like, because it's one of those things that humanize this otherworldly not just character, but this other world of just like you, the little things that you're able to recognize and connect with on a personal level.
Yeah.
Which has been missing a lot from female characters in the MCU.
Mm-hmm. There was actually an article comicbook.com released. Well, originally The Hollywood Reporter talked to Kathy Yan, who was the director of Birds of Prey. And comicbook.com kind of did their own little, like, hey, this happened. But they, like, Birds of Prey director breaks silence on the DC movie's disappointing box office numbers. And her quote is, I know that the studio had really high expectations for the movie, as we all did. There were also undue expectations on a female-led movie. And what I was most disappointed in was the idea that perhaps it proved that we weren't ready for this yet. That was an extra burden that, as a woman of color director, I already had on me anyway. So yes, I think there were certainly different ways you could interpret the success or lack of success of the movie, and everyone has a right to do that, but I definitely do feel that everyone is pretty quick to jump to a certain angle.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually continued the article. So one of the writers for comic.com, Nicole Drum, said, like, had an analysis of it, and what she said was, Birds of Prey isn't a standard superhero movie and shouldn't be judged as one, but there's something more to consider as well when looking at how Birds of Prey is discussed. On Twitter, a few people have compared the language of how headlines have addressed Birds of Prey to the language used to describe a film with a similar budget and a similar opening haul. Ford versus Ferrari. In the case of Ford v. Ferrari, its opening weekend was described as racing to first place, or as a strong opening with $31 million domestic, while Birds of Prey had a distinctly negative phrasing with the words such as disappoints and went astray, with its slightly better take of $33
million.
So there's like kind of an obvious comparison there, how Ford v. Ferrari had a similar budget and a similar opening weekend, but is a male-led, like, film.
Yeah, not tied to any franchise.
With, like, Christian Bale and Matt Damon and all these, like, and it made $31 million that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Birds of Prey, again, same budget, actually a slightly better opening weekend, but everyone was saying, like, how it disappointed in the box office and how it wasn't, like, as good of a film and blah, blah, blah. But even, like, when you think about it, how she says it's not a standard superhero movie and shouldn't be judged as one, it's not. Like, Harley Quinn is kind of a niche character.
Definitely. I'd seen her. I didn't know her until Suicide Squad, which is, I think that's most people.
Yeah. So, like, I knew of Harley Quinn way before because I feel like she's always popped up when the Joker pops up. Not necessarily in the Christian Bale Batman universe, but she usually pops up when the Joker is around. And we've discussed this before. I used to watch a lot of like DC comic like cartoons growing up. Not a lot of Marvel, but a lot of the DC ones I did. So I would see her in that a lot. So I knew who she was. And like I was definitely excited to see her in Suicide Squad, and I thought that was gonna be really awesome. So when Birds of Prey was announced, I was like, oh hell yeah, this is gonna be so cool. But she is very much a niche character because she's not part of like a she's not often like on her own as a character. She's usually paired up with the Joker, so to have her be in her own movie separate of him is kind of unique because she hasn't had a lot of like television or movies about her on her own. I mean, I know that there's a cartoon about her right now. I think the second season just started, but like this is relatively recent.
Right. That makes sense.
So like Birds of Prey is a good movie and everyone who's like seen it, I feel like lots of people who've watched Birds of Prey, like, as fans, we love it. It just didn't draw in, like, the $80 million that, like, Iron Man draws in or Thor draws in or even, like, the Batman v Superman movies draw in, even though they're certifiably terrible.
That was the other thing that I think was rough on Birds of Prey itself is it's already coming from the underdog team. Like, DC is inherently the underdog team.
And, like, honestly, it's not really a shock that the only good movies coming out from DC right now are kind of like the female voice, you know?
Yeah, they have, not that Marvel doesn't, but DC has really good female characters, and they were able to find the people and the teams to really bring out and make good movies with those female characters.
Yeah. I think the other thing, you know, is that if you're looking at Wonder, well, like DC specifically, you're looking at Wonder Woman and you're looking at Birds of Prey. Birds of Prey, obviously Margot Robbie has like star power. She has her own star power, but she was the only like big name in the movie.
Yeah.
Everyone else is like some, I don't know any of those other actors or actresses, except maybe the person who played Huntress. I know that she's in like a lot of other stuff. I know that she like has made her a name for herself. I just don't really know a lot of her other work. And when you look at Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman is mostly a cast of unknowns.
Yeah, the love Chris interest Pine. Like was the biggest name, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess sort of the villain, because but the only thing I know him from is Harry Potter, so.
Yeah. Cause I didn't realize Gal Gadot was a Fast and the Furious actress.
I did not know that either.
Yeah.
Like she I'm pretty sure she's discussed though that she was gonna quit acting and then she got Wonder Woman.
Oops.
Because I'm pretty sure her character in Fast and Furious died.
I think so.
I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. I don't watch the Fast and Furious movies. But, like, I would assume that the only reason she didn't continue, like, appearing in them is because her character died.
That's my assumption as well.
So that's all I have to say about that. The last thing I kind of want to say about this, though, is gender swapping in general is kind of a commonplace thing in fandom and like fan fiction. So there's always like some sort of fic that has like the main character's gender swapped in one way or the other. And it's my belief, and it's kind of like how gender swapping kind of came into the lexicon at all, was that people were kind of going, I wonder if we treated like this female character as a male, would they continue to like face these sort of roadblocks they're getting in the writing or whatever. So it's kind of like a fan art thing, and it's like a fan fiction thing where people will draw or write their like the character as the other gender, like female, male, female, that kind of thing. And like it is one of those things where like I saw it a lot in the Supernatural fandom that they would draw Sam and Dean and Castiel as women and be like, these are the Winchester sisters and this is like the Angel Castiel and blah, blah, blah. And like, and I saw it a lot then because it was always like in kind of a, well, first it would be kind of interesting to see these two like badass characters as women being like badass women. And you're also kind of thinking of it in a way as like, would these two like characters still end up the way that they are as women?
Right.
You know?
That's interesting. Yeah.
Like, how much would the gender of them play into their character personality, the kind of roadblocks they face in the story, like, all of that.
That makes sense.
Especially because Supernatural is super guilty of killing off every single woman that graces its screen.
Oof. That's
Like, at first, you don't really, like, it's really not something you notice, but I'm sorry, you're going to have to bleep this out or not bleep this out, but it's like a joke in the fandom that Sam Winchester has the dick of death because every woman that he sleeps with dies.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well?
Like, I'm pretty sure from the amount that I had watched of that show, I can count on one hand how many women were on it and then did not die. And I'm pretty sure it's just two.
Oh.
And this show is on, like, season 16 or something.
That's really bad.
So there's that. Gender swapping in general, like, I feel like it's very, like, common in fandom. It's gotten recently a lot of, like, flack because people say, like, it supports, like, binary thinking, that there's only two genders and it erases trans people. And, like, and I totally understand the criticism, but like, to me, it never felt like that. It wasn't like we were erasing trans people or the idea. It was just like gender swapping has been around for a really long time. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. like, that's just always been the term for it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, people who play with that sandbox are really, like, really believe that, you know, non-binary people don't exist or trans people right. don't exist. Like, it's just more of, like, a playful, not playful, but, like, it's just a way to think about the characters in a different light and, like, think, like, how would these characters exist or act as the opposite gender?
That makes sense. And that's a more interesting way to think about it, because the way I'd been introduced to it mostly, and the way I'd been introduced to it, and I think the term has gone, like, it's not used anymore, but gender-bent cosplay was how I'd heard it first, of basically people would take...
Well, gender-bending and gender-swapping is kind of, like, interchangeable.
Oh, okay. But yeah, basically, what does a female Harry look like, or a male... I can't think of a female character for some reason. And I always thought that was interesting, but when it's in cosplay, it's not so much, you don't have the space to really explore stories. It's more design. So I enjoy gender swapped cosplays mm-hmm. because you can get, it's really interesting, the character designs that your people come up with. And then the main one that I started actually paying attention to, and I mentioned this to you, is, Joan Watson in Elementary, because that was the first time I'd ever heard of a gender swapped character like in that way. And so it was because mm-hmm. I'm a Sherlock Holmes purist. I wasn't mad that she was Asian. I wasn't mad that she was a woman. I was mad because I don't like Sherlock and Watson ships. So I refused to watch Elementary because in my head, I was like, well, if they made Watson a woman, that means they're just going to put them together.
John Locke. On TV. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I was trying to remember the ship name. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
You're good. So that's why for the longest time, I never watched Elementary, which is now obviously it's my brand. But so that was the first time I'd heard of that and like seen it in a mainstream way. And then later someone who'd it'd been out for a few years and my friends was like, no, I think you're going to really like it, and they don't end up together. And this was, like, season 4, and I was like, okay, if they don't end up together, I'm going to watch. And then, actually, I love it. I love Elementary now. And they were able to switch Watson in a way that wasn't about her being a woman or about her being Asian. It was just, like, when did this show come out? 2013? 2010? I was just like, it's the 2000s.
It's been a while.
Right? It's like, it's not Victorian England. These things can happen. Sherlock can have tattoos. Watson can be an Asian woman. Let's go. Because the whole point of Elementary is the twist of Sherlock Holmes. And I was like, you go, Glen Coco.
Yeah, I remember when Elementary first came out, because I definitely was watching it from season 1. But I remember when it first came out, it angered a lot of John Locke shippers because it was like, now they're just going to put them together and it's going to be okay because she's a woman. And like, mm-hmm. That was a huge thing in that fandom because I think it overlapped a bit while I was still like kind of in the BBC Sherlock fandom. So a lot of people mm-hmm. who watched that and were like heavily devoted to BBC Sherlock were really pissed off because they were like, well, now that they made John... or Watson a woman, they're gonna put them together and they're gonna play off of the actual like sexual tension of these characters. And so it was kind of nice that didn't actually happen in that sense mm-hmm. because like they didn't do it as an excuse to make that ship possible and then like also make mm-hmm. it heterosexual. Like they right. did it because they were just doing it, they were playing with it, and they were like, let's just like do it, let's just try,
right? So I appreciate that of like something new and inventive for the sake of something new and inventive.
Yeah, I think that if you are out there and listening to this and you are getting mad at us for being frustrated with men and their opinions on female adaptations or gender bending these like traditional male shows or TV or movies or whatever, I want you to look inside yourself and ask why you feel so mad at us for saying that. And I want you to look inside yourself as well and ask why you're so mad at these, like, things turn it becoming female. Like, why does that anger you so much? Because you need to do some soul searching. Like, open call. Or if you want to come on the podcast and discuss it with us, as long as you're civil about it, we can have that discussion. But, like,
we'll see how we'll see how that goes. Because, again, I think what we talked about earlier is we have the base of, like, what if we took well-established known things and made them female adaptations? So we've laid that foundation, and now we can move on to that. Let's just tell new female stories or new non-male stories.
Yeah. And I definitely feel the same way about, like, stories that involve people of color. Like, it's the way to go about it is not to just turn traditional characters black or Hispanic or Asian or whatever.
Yeah, don't be Barnes and Nobles and just put POC on the covers of old books. That doesn't change anything.
Didn't know they did that. Wasn't great. I also think that you've said that before, and every time I'm like, didn't know they did that. But, like, for example, like, The Little Mermaid, they cast her black. I don't really care. Like, I'm still going to go see the new Little Mermaid movie, like, the live-action one. It's, like, not that big of a deal. But at the same time, like, why doesn't Disney just create new stories starring black people or Latino people or, like, whatever?
Yeah, you know? What they just did with Moana, use other... Do it right.
Moana, Coco, but, like, Mulan.
Yeah, tell traditional stories from other cultures. Basically, just be Princess required.
Princess and the Frog. I think they just need to continue making new stories about different types of people, not taking the old stuff and changing it to make that. And I feel that way about literally all of it. But if you are going to gender bend or race bend these characters, I don't care. Just do it. But, like, don't make a big deal about it. Like, who cares? Just do it. And if you're out there getting angry, like, again, soul search. Realize why you're getting angry.
Right. Or, like we said, what we said at the start, the original thing that they are rebooting or whatever, it's not going away. You don't have to watch the new one. It's you're fine. It's going to be okay.
Exactly. But with that, I think... We've talked out this discussion. It's definitely a starting place and not, like, the whole discussion to be had about this conversation. But this is a good starting place if you're having these thoughts. Anyway, thanks for listening. Please, please, please stay at home. Be safe. Stay healthy. Wash your hands. Don't hoard essential goods. And we'll be with you till the end of the line. You can follow me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can follow Lily at Lily_Rugo. You can follow the podcast at EMFangirls. And you can check out our website, EarthsMightiestFangirls.com. And email us at EMFangirls@gmail.com. And you can listen to us on iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher and anywhere else you find your podcasts. And please do the beautiful, beautiful thing that is rating and reviewing us. If you like this episode or you like our show in general, it really, really helps if you leave us a review.
Please do. Thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing. Stay inside. Thank you.